Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And a very good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette here with the doctors today in the studio, and we have three, Dr. Jerry Mixon, Dr. Samira Umat, and we have our special guest doctor, Dr. Payne, or the taker of pain, how about that, Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho. And welcome, doctors. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and wow, we had such a busy last show that we're ready to dive into it again. We're in our new studios, which is kind of fun. It's so different from being just radio. And we're practicing and getting camera angles and all sorts of things right. And we invite you to call in and be part of the show. Same number, but in a couple weeks, you'll be able to actually see us and interact with us and not just hear us. So we're kind of excited about that. Real quick, let me give you the phone number to call in to get into the phone queue. That's 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. All right, doctors. Dr. Mixon, let's start it off. And what's at the top of your mind today in medicine?
Yeah, I say, let's limit it to medicine.
That's right. His wife has been gone for how many weeks and how many days and minutes?
Way too many.
She's
coming back
soon.
Coming back the 21st, though.
Good.
2:20 in the afternoon, assuming the plane is on time.
Yeah, he'll be at the airport by 9 o'clock in the morning.
You know he will be. Yes.
Antsy, yeah.
Woohoo.
I came across two things in the past week that I thought were really interesting. And one of them relates to Dr. Nelson's practice. And this was an Australian study that used a modified hyaluronic acid along with a newer bioactive peptide that they've developed that actually triggers growth in cartilage. Mm. And the studies were done in sheep. Apparently, the stifle joint in sheep is kind of analogous to our knee.
Okay.
And it wears out in sheep very quickly. And so by just injecting this new combination, it's kind of like a thick gel, it's injected into the knee joint, and over a six-month period, it actually grew new cartilage and gave these elderly sheep a knee that functioned and looked much like a young person's knee. Mm. The question, of course, is how effective will this be in human beings, which, right, you know, would be the next step,
right,
to find some folks that otherwise are going to get knee replacement surgery,
right,
and see if we can actually grow new cartilage in their knees.
Yeah, pretty exciting stuff.
Very exciting stuff. So if it works in humans.
Right. There's always a very big if.
But I tell you, sheep are a lot closer in size and weight and so on than mice.
Okay. Right.
And so the mechanical forces on mice joints are pretty minimal. You know, you're talking about a few ounce animal.
Right.
You got a 150 pound sheep. Now you got something analogous to a moderately overweight woman. Hmm. And so if it grows new knee cartilage in them, it may well help in us.
Right.
And if that comes about, we may find knee surgeons screaming and yelling and looking for a new way to make a living. Because instead of replacing knees, we may be able to, with just one or two injections over a 6-month period.
Sure.
Basically be able to regrow the articular surfaces of knees.
Mm. Right.
That would be fabulous.
That would be huge, because that would be a truly a game changer. We use that, overuse that term a lot, but we talked about this previously, 700,000 knee replacements and growing every year in the U.S. and done on younger and younger people. And we know for a fact that somewhere between 20-30% of those people are unhappy with their knee replacement.
Yes.
Which means, and you're permanently consigned to being unhappy forever, because, you know, that's...
You can't put it back.
Once you can't put it back.
Once you cut it off.
Once you amputate that knee,
that knee
and
joint,
put,
yeah.
And put in a... Yeah, you're kind of stuck with whatever you get. So I tell people, look, if you're getting a knee replacement and you're one of 7 or 8 out of 10, great. But if you are, unfortunately, one of 2 or 3, depending on the statistics, that's not so good. I think it's great to have options. People like,
yes.
You go to the restaurant, you want a menu of different options, right? So, but we really haven't had that for knee arthritis. You get, you know, they do meniscus surgery, all that stuff when you're younger, because maybe it'll help. But when you're removing the meniscus, you're removing cartilage, right? So, and eventually you're going to get arthritis. And the doctor will tell you, well, come back when it's bad enough. We'll do a knee replacement. I mean, most people want other options besides come back when it's bad
enough. Wouldn't it be nice if you had meniscus tears and you could just inject that gel that healed and grew new meniscus?
Oh, it would be fantastic.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, you know, I do the stem cell PRP stuff, which has been truly amazing since I started doing it 10 years ago. But, I would welcome more stuff
more
like this, where we could take something literally off the shelf and inject it with and see similar results. That would be remarkable.
It would be wonderful. And, of course, the pharmaceutical companies would love it.
Oh, yeah.
Sure they would.
That would be...
Because, you know, this stuff will probably cost $1.70 to make for each patient. But since they're replacing a $70,000 surgery, they'll probably be charging $5,000 or $6,000 for this $1.70 worth of stuff.
Right.
But you know. Yeah. Nevertheless, would I pay $5,000 or $6,000 to avoid having my knee basically amputated and an artificial thing put in? You're darn right I would.
Mm. Yeah,
so
for sure.
Yeah, so it's one of those fascinating things that I look at and say, wow, okay, we don't do that yet. Mm. But it looks like if this translates from sheep to people, we might in the next 10 years.
Mm. Right.
So, and the reason I say 10 years instead of 3 or 4 is because it's got to get through the FDA.
Yeah.
Right. And we got to make sure that it is safe and it's not doing other things.
That's right.
That's, you know,
yeah, although the hyaluronic acid has been around forever,
that's right.
And that's a normal component of your knee.
Yeah, that's
right.
And so it's the new pro-growth peptides that are the question.
Right. That's Synvisc, isn't it? HA?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Synvisc was the original one they harvested from a rooster's coxcomb.
Yeah.
I don't know who figured that out, but.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I see that rooster. With
researchers
with
are really weird people.
Yeah, like, yeah. Hey, I'm going to take some of that stuff and.
Let's see what this will
be. Let's see. I mean, who came up with that idea?
I don't know. Yeah, it wasn't Chinese. They'd have probably just eaten it.
Yeah. We'll let you say that.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, you know, I have a Chinese wife, so yeah, and I know Chinese eat the whole animal.
Right.
They
just
do. They don't waste anything because, you know, China has never been able to grow enough food to feed its population. They've always had to import food. But once the Communist Party took over, that got dramatically worse. Yeah. You know, something in the neighborhood of 60 million Chinese starved to death during the first 25 years of the
Great Leap Forward.
The Great Leap Forward, yeah. Because what happened was they decided the peasants, the farmers, would know nothing about farming. And so they had the bureaucrats in Beijing, who were politicians, tell the farmers how they had to grow their food. And the result was mass starvation. So, you know, how about letting the people that know what the hell they're doing do the job instead of the bureaucrats? You know?
Yes.
But, you know, under a socialist system, no, the bureaucrats are in control of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So what can I tell you? But, yes, in fact, my family's in China now. And one thing, though, they tell us that we do need to start making in America that they were eating in China. And that is a pineapple chicken burger.
Oh.
Mmm,
pineapple
grilled
chicken burger.
Chicken with pineapple slices cooked on top of it.
Oh, that sounds
yummy.
In
your burger
like a cheeseburger in paradise.
No, you're not going for that.
Don't be putting pineapple on my burger.
Nobody's putting pineapple on my burger.
You don't.
Or my pizza.
You don't like pineapple on your pizza either?
No.
Oh my goodness.
No. A heretic brand her with a great big P on her forehead. But my daughter ate 2 pineapple chicken burgers yesterday.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, first time I went to China. Well, no, not the first times. Second or third time I went to China. Because I started going to China way... In fact, the first time I went to China, it was illegal. But that's a whole different issue. That was with the military. and I was only just across the border. But I went to China in the early days when it first started opening up, and I was down in Nanning area, and I think I was the first Caucasian some of those people had ever seen.
A tall one at that.
Yeah, 6'4". In fact, yes, I would walk down the street and whole families would cross the street just to come up, look way up, because way down in southern China, they're a lot shorter than northern China.
Yeah.
You know, they barely reach my nipples. And they'd come over, and the whole family would look way up, and they give me the victory sign, the peace sign, you know, and say, okay.
Did they try to touch you?
It was all the English they knew. Yes, they did. But,
you probably didn't care.
Yeah, but I met some very nice, my guide at the time was a nice young lady, and she introduced me to some of her college friends. So I was going to treat these young college folks that had not met a Caucasian before. And I told them, let's go out to eat. I'll take you anywhere you want to go. And you know where they wanted to go? KFC.
Seriously?
Yes.
KFC just come to China.
Wow.
And it was exotic, and no one had ever had
fried chicken, southern fried chicken
with the Colonel's recipe.
And fake mashed potatoes. And
I believe it.
Yeah, and it was extremely, extremely exotic in those days. And for the Chinese, outrageously expensive. Yeah. For us, it was cheap. Because at that time, the average Chinese annual income was about $2,800 US.
Yeah. So
under $3,000 a year.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were not going to KFC on that budget.
Right.
Yeah. So I took these kids out to KFC.
Wow.
And boy, they thought I was just the most wonderful thing on earth because I could afford to take them to KFC.
That's good.
Since then, of course, I go to China back and forth and back and forth. And I have, you know, my wife has a condo there. I can't say it's mine because I'm not on the deed. That condo was my bona fides to her father because I wanted to marry her, but because she's 30 years my junior, they were suspicious. Because Caucasians have a history in China of getting young Chinese girls pregnant and then abandoning them. So to prove to her father that I was a serious player, I bought a condo near her father, paid cash, and put it in her name only, so I'm not on the deed. And that convinced her father, if I ever abandoned her, she had a home paid for near her dad, that she would be secure. And that is what got her family's approval for our wedding.
Yeah.
All right.
So to this day, my wife has a condo in China. I don't.
Yeah. It's yours. Oh, the stories of Dr. Jerry Mixon and, of course, Dr. Dan Nelson with us today and Dr. Samira Umat. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We invite you to call in. Phone lines are open at 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. We're going to take a quick break. Then we'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine.
Doing this routine.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't call the, let's see, was that, who was that? I just blanked. Listen to the Music. Was that the Doobie Brothers? I don't think of them as disco, but you know.
With a name like Doobie, you know, you got to be doing something.
You're right.
I was too young. I don't understand what you're saying there, Dr. Mixon. Welcome to Leading
Me
Edge
too.
Medicine.
Me too.
Yes. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon, and our special guest doctor from Pro Ortho, our pain specialist, Dr. Dan Nelson. And the phone lines are opening, opening up and for your calls, and we are ready to talk with you. And we're going to get started. 206-421-5757 is the number to call in. That's 206-421-5757. Our very first caller today, Bonnie, calling in from Edmonds. Hi, Bonnie.
Hello, Bonnie.
Hello. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Say, I have two little questions here, Dr. Nelson, because I came in and saw Sarah. And she suggested I get, I can't think of the name of it, where the cauterize the nerves in my back so I don't have that back pain. And I got scared and I called back and said, I need more information. She sent me a wonderful pamphlet that had all the information in it, a printout. And I then talked to somebody that had the same procedure in their shoulder by you, and they felt it was very successful. So now I'm ready to do it. However, I tore my meniscus in my knee, and I need to address that first. Mm-hmm. I have a question for you about that. It was a small tear, and then I fell at the 4th of July parade flat on my face on my knee and damaged it more. And it's been extremely painful for the last 4 weeks. Mm. And so I'm going today to Virginia Mason to get an MRI. I already had the x-ray. And do you deal with that, a torn meniscus?
Well, yes and no. It depends. Is the knee locking up at all, Bonnie, or is it?
Well, if I lean back a little bit, it tries to a little bit, but otherwise I can walk on it painfully, but I can walk. And I use a lot of ice and elevating the leg, and it's been a real trial and tribulation for me.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So a couple of things, and Bonnie, I apologize, but your approximate age is about...
Oh, yeah, I'm 81 now.
You're
81. 80 young.
Yeah, 80 young.
Yeah, 80 so, young, yeah.
So, you know, if a younger person might, if you saw an orthopedic doctor, they'd probably recommend meniscus surgery, which means they go in with a scope and they usually remove part of the meniscus, and that can help. Though the studies have shown anybody over the age of 50, that kind of arthroscopic surgery is no better than physical therapy. I mean, the three-year outcomes are essentially the same.
The growth factors are simply inadequate, and you don't repair from it.
Right.
Recover from the surgery as well.
In the past, wasn't it the bucket handle tear that would require surgery, and locking was a classic mechanism?
I think you're right. Yeah. So if it was locking up, and that's why I asked patients, if it's not locking up, it's probably not a surgical situation, you just need to heal up. Now, that's where, you know, the things like PRP and stem cell can be extremely useful because they help.
Okay, well, I had physical therapy. They recommended that at Virginia Mason, so I went the first one, and it felt so good. The pain left. I walked around without even a limp. An hour later, I was in excruciating pain and worse than before.
So that was
fibromyalgia.
I'd also had
a knee injection the week before. I tried to talk him out of it. I said, I don't think I should do this right now. A hyaluronic acid gel injection on both knees. And I don't know it irritated a nerve going up and down that leg. And so after I had that physical therapy, I went back the second time. I said, I don't know what's going on. She says, I'm not going to even touch you today. Mm. If you have fibromyalgia, it's flared up all over your body. So that's an issue.
So that was the first time you've been told you had fibromyalgia?
Oh, no, I've had it for 30 years. I did a six-month study at the UW trying to control it. But there's been a lot of stress lately, especially politically, and I guess I'm a little uptight.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes the best thing to do is to do nothing. I certainly agree with that. So let's see. I guess going forward, what can be done? Is that?
Yeah, I'm going to get the MRI today, and that will.
Oh yeah.
Tell.
I
could bring that to you too. You know.
Absolutely.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
We would want to see the MRI for sure, and then we'd have a discussion. You know, what are the options to control the pain and keep you moving? That's the main thing. My goal is to keep you moving and keep you pain-free as possible in doing that. So,
yeah, I ride a bike. I swim in the ocean out here in Edmonds.
Nice.
I do all kinds of things and do a lot of yard work, and I can't do any of it.
Yeah.
I go down to the beach and get in the cold water, and that really helps.
Yeah. So, you talked about radiofrequency ablation or burning the nerves in the low back and the shoulder, and we had a lot of success with both of those. And we can do the same for the knee, actually. We called something called a genicular nerve block as a test injection. And the radiofrequency ablation of those nerves can be very helpful. I mean, you got to know what you're doing and do it the right way. But that's kind of what we do. So, again, I'm not like a stem cell clinic. We do stem cells, and I think we do it really well. But we're going to do whatsoever best for you, okay?
Yeah.
So we've got basically a full menu to help treat whatever's going on with you, and what we're going to recommend for you might be different from the next person who comes in the door.
Exactly.
So
yes, I understand.
It's kind of tailored to your situation is how we do it. Mm-hmm. Just like Longevity Medical Clinic, they tailor it to your situation.
Absolutely.
Right?
Exactly. Okay, well, I'll get that MRI today, and then if I don't get any response from Virginia Mason, any satisfying answers, I will come to you. I'm going to be making the appointment probably in September, I thought, to everything calm down and get my knee in line before I come and get the... What do you call that procedure?
The intracept.
Intracept.
No,
yeah.
It's the nerve ablation.
Oh, yeah, just
radiofrequency.
Radiofrequency ablation.
Nerve ablation. Basal vertebral nerve ablation.
Well, that's
radio
the spine.
Frequency.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
it's
spine,
all part of radio.
Yeah, but that's what she was asking originally.
Oh, was she?
For the back. Yeah.
Oh, for the back.
Yeah. Started the show was for the back.
Oh, got it. Yeah. Got it. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
we've got.
So I have two things going on.
Yeah.
You two things going on, and you're like.
And three.
Yeah.
Fibromyalgia.
Yeah.
I don't have a good. I don't go. Unfortunately, we don't have a great answer for fibromyalgia. I wish we did.
A long vacation in Hawaii.
There you go.
Why not?
Well, you have to take the doctor with you.
Yeah, you have to take,
right.
You have to take us with you.
Yeah, because highly critical situation you're in. You've got to have at least three doctors with you at all times.
Doctor's orders.
Yeah. Maybe even an announcer, too, like a co-host.
Hey, I should probably go and make sure that you're okay.
Exactly. Okay, well, I've been hesitating because I've been in so much pain, but I got to move forward, I know.
Yeah.
So the MRI is the next step.
Yeah, and Bonnie, I would try to make that appointment with our office as soon as you can, just because we're getting super busy. I know every time I ask how far out we're booked, I want to plug my ears because it sounds like too much time. But so make that appointment as soon as you can, even
before you're pain free.
Right.
They guess it out a month or two.
Yes, it could be. It could be that
all
long.
Right. Oh, Bonnie, thank you so much for the call. All right. We will get back with more of your calls in just a moment. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, and you're with Dr. Jerry Mixon today, Dr. Samira Umat, and our special guest doctor focusing on pain, your pain, at Pro Ortho. It's Dr. Dan Nelson. So if you've got pain in your shoulder, your neck, your spine, your body, you want to talk stem cells, this is the day to call Dr. Dan Nelson here on the show on Leading Edge Medicine. Here's the number, 206-421-5757. We'll be back with Paul from Snohomish in just a moment. Stay right there.
Crazy. I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy.
does wonderful blue sounds.
Yeah.
She does.
That voice of hers is just perfect.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like she's almost weeping when she sings.
Who is this?
Patsy Cline.
Yes, just a beautiful voice in that song.
Wow.
Just, you hear it, everybody knows.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. We're back, Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, here with the doctors in the studio, Dr. Samira Umat, Dr. Jerry Mixon, and from Pro Ortho, Dr. Dan Nelson. If you've got a question about your pain, this is the guy to call, and I believe we've got one of those questions right now. Paul calling in from Snohomish. Welcome, Paul.
Hello, Paul.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. So I'm calling on behalf of my dad, Al, and we finally call him Papa. Lynette knows who I'm talking about.
Welcome, Paul.
Dr. Thank you. And she referred us to you, Dr. Nelson. We were able to get in, see Dr. Fuchs. He was able to give my father a cortisone shot in his shoulder. This is the issue. At 91, he's been relatively healthy. He has been in the process of using two canes, which had caused me a little bit of concern, being that his shoulder is causing him so much pain. He expresses at night that he's unable to sleep because the pain is so significant. I had him in the ER last week because of the pain being just off the chart. He complains of both the shoulder to the elbow to the wrist. His wrist was a little bit swollen. We will be seeing another doctor in at your practice for his neck, which we're not sure if it's radiating pain down his arm. My question, I guess, would be is what do you recommend for a person at 91 years of age? Because I will tell you that sometimes I feel people discredit his solutions based upon his age and the fact that he has a pacemaker. But his sister is still alive. She's fighting cancer, and she's 100 years old. So he's got longevity in his genes. So, so what do you recommend for someone like him who really the pain is so intolerable? And I'm sure we're in your pain practice. You clearly understand what that means.
Oh, absolutely. No, the first thing I'd recommend is to come and see us specifically for the shoulder pain. And right now I'm thinking probably we would do something called a suprascapular nerve block as a test injection because this is, if that's successful, if it gets temporary pain relief, then I'd probably recommend something suprascapular nerve radiofrequency ablation, which not many people do that, and there's not a lot written about it, but I would say that I've kind of developed this technique over the years where it's been remarkable how well that works for mitigating pain and severe pain like your father has.
Does it present with shoulder, elbow, and wrist pain, with the wrist swelling?
No, there's probably something distal going on there.
Okay.
But I mean, but you can when you have bad shoulder pain, you'll get referred pain down into the biceps and sometimes into the forearm, and that can definitely happen. Now, we're making this diagnosis over the phone.
Not
always great.
The other thing he mentioned that caught my attention was that Dad is trying to use two canes.
Right.
And
if
the swelling in the wrist is at all related to the weight that he's putting on that cane, I would maybe even switch him out to a little bit of a high walker with a platform and you grip on. So you go to OT or PT, and they have walkers. And this walker has a platform on top, and it has a little bar that you grip onto. And therefore, it rolls easier. It gives you a wider base of support than walking with two canes with four points.
Right, because the canes probably cause some impact.
Yes, they do.
To the shoulders.
It hurts the wrist, too.
The walkers definitely might be a lower impact situation for him.
Yeah, so it'll roll easier for Dad to get around.
For sure. So, Dr. Yuma.
And
that's very good. Sorry, Paul?
Those are good call-outs. I think what's the challenge is that he doesn't see himself as wanting to use a walker, so he's resorted to the canes. But to your point, I have asked him to only use one cane at this point so that we can work with that right arm as we're working with Dr. Nelson's practice to see if we can't get ahead of the pain. Because this pain is so significant, my concern is that he lives on his own, but it could impact his ability to live on his own if he's not able to move himself around in a healthy manner, able to, you know, get his food made, you know, be able to get consistent rest, which is not what he's getting right,
right
now.
Yeah. But I well, you said that he's not getting enough sleep, right? But it's interfering with his sleep.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. See, when people
correct
tell me their pain is waking them up at night, that's like, okay, we got to, because that's just a deteriorating situation. You're not getting enough rest, enough sleep, and your his body needs that sleep, that rest.
Correct.
Dr. Mixon,
you
don't want
say,
you to pipe in.
Well, I was just thinking, is that a drug I don't like in the daytime because it makes your head fuzzy? But gabapentin at night.
Yeah. Gabapentin is great at night.
Now, absolutely. My only concern is he's in his 90s.
Yes. Right.
So his liver metabolism of the drug will be slower. So so what he'd have to do is get 100 milligram capsules, and he starts with one each night. And if that doesn't give him enough relief, but he's not fuzzy headed in the daytime, go to two. If that's not works, you go to three, and then you can go to four. And so you kind of step that gabapentin dose up. Gabapentin's a nerve stabilizer, so it doesn't let the nociceptors, the nerves that are sending pain signals to his brain, fire as easily. And the higher the dose, the more you interfere with those. The problem with the drug is it also interferes with the nerve cells in your head, in your brain. And so it can make you really kind of fuzzy-headed and strange. But you don't care about that at night when you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
So if it knocks down the pain, you get a good night's sleep, and it wears off by the next day, you're fine. But
right,
my only worry is, again, that that elderly liver, he may not get rid of it as fast. And so if he's still a little goofy in the next day, you have to lower the dose. But if he's not getting enough pain relief and isn't goofy the next day, you just keep stepping the dose up until you find the right dose for him.
I love that you're saying that. You took a page right out of my playbook about the gabapentin. I don't think we've ever talked about that.
No,
but this is exactly
yet
what we do. Starting at 100 milligrams, which almost is well tolerated by almost everybody.
Yep.
But I agree totally. Gabapentin, terrible daytime drug. Really good nighttime drug, though.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and then people tell me, couldn't stand the gabapentin. I said, well, did you try just taking it at nighttime?
Yeah.
And it's a difference maker.
Yeah, take it an hour before bed.
Right.
Let
right
it start working good before he settles down.
Yeah.
You don't want him laying there hurting for an hour because that really sets him up for a bad night's sleep.
Right.
So take the drug an hour or so before bed, and then he can snuggle down. And, you know, the proper dose of the drug is enough to do the job. But just enough to do the job,
right,
because the higher the dose, the increased risk of side effects.
Gotcha.
And is that supplement over-the-counter, Doctor?
No, it's a
prescription medicine.
That is gabapentin. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's generic, it's cheap, I mean, and it's useful at nighttime.
Yeah, no, you buy 100 of them and they probably come out to a few cents a piece.
Right. Yeah.
Well, they give you 100 because it's generally a three times a day dose.
Right.
So they want you to take it three times.
But if you're taking four a night, then it's only a 25-day dose. So you're less than a month for 100 if you're at that high dose.
Right.
But if two or three a night do the job, well, then that's enough.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Gotcha.
All right.
Well,
is that helpful for you, Paul?
Yes, it is. So we'll talk to Dr. Nelson's practice about getting him gabapentin. We'll be there on Monday.
Oh, very good. Yeah, don't rush in. Yeah. Hey, in 48 hours.
That's right.
That's good.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for the call, sir.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment.
Touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Sweet
Caroline. We're back. Leading Edge Medicine. I had a little bronchitis hit this weekend, so the coughing fit. Sorry about that. You had to hear that little cough sneak in there. I inhaled something. Something went up my Yeah. We're back, Leading Edge Medicine, and Dawn is on the line from Vancouver to talk to the doctors.
Go ahead and get Dawn on, because...
There we go. Don't want me to cough. Hi, Dawn.
The lyrics of that music...
Hi, John.
Triggered.
Oh, John.
I can't make on the air.
Great. John, yes.
Hi, John. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for your military and community service up there. I got probably two questions. A quickie on a supplement with biotin and what else has gone in?
Collagen
with biotin. I've recently had a major dental surgery, and I'm told that taking this liquid collagen with biotin may help my healing. Any truth to that?
It is one of those things that there is being touted. You know, I see a lot of people selling collagen biotin combinations for healing and repair. But quite frankly, I've never done a literature search to see if there are papers to support it or not. So I don't really know for sure. It's one of those things I ought to pull up a paper and see.
I mean, we've talked about collagen in the past, and I think our biggest reservation has been absorption.
Yes.
How do you absorb collagen when it's in a powder form?
Well,
are you or not?
Well, you're doing, you take the collagen, it hits your stomach, the hydrochloric acid in your stomach starts ripping it apart.
Yeah.
And then the proteases from your pancreatic fluid in your duodenum.
Yeah.
Finish breaking it down to its constituent amino acids.
Yeah.
But then you use those amino acids to make your own collagen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because whether it's collagen from chicken feet or from shark fin or from a cow, it's not the same as human collagens.
Right.
Okay, we have our own amino acid sequence. So when you take collagen, what you're really doing is providing your body with the amino acids necessary to make collagen. But the collagen you're making is your own new collagen.
Yeah.
So, it's a lot cheaper to just buy hydrolyzed protein from either whey or soy, and because that's already hydrolyzed, it's already just the amino acids, and your body can use those to make your own collagen as needed, and it's a heck of a lot cheaper than buying collagen supplements.
I mean, sometimes when I've looked at collagen products in the market and look at the ingredients, it's basically just amino acids.
Yes.
But that's the same amino acids that are in protein powders.
Yes.
But they're marketed as so much more expensive.
Yes.
Now, some of them are expensive and they do have some bovine products in them. But I'm just not sure how much that contributes to the real collagen and how much are you actually absorbing?
Well, and not only that, but when you're using these very expensive collagen supplements, the amount is a small fraction of a teaspoon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, it's a cc or two, a gram or two. Whereas when you use a hydrolyzed protein that they sell for muscle building or exercise, hell, you're getting a great big scoop. It's probably, five or six ounces instead of a fraction of a gram.
Mm-hmm.
So I go with a big gun myself. So.
Got it. That makes sense. My second question is on prostate. I've had the Rezūm procedure.
Uh-huh.
I had the Euro lift. I'm told now that I may be in line over here at the University of Oregon for a... aqua ablation.
Okay.
But I find that the University of Washington, where I got started, quit doing those.
Okay.
Do you know anything about why they would quit?
No, I don't. Interesting tidbit of information, though. I will look it up, because a year or so ago, when I first started reading about the aqua ablations, it actually had the best side effect profile of any procedure out there, far better than the old cutting loop or the lasers even.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see if somebody has come up with a more significant side effect than we had in the early days of the procedure.
Yeah, I didn't know that they weren't doing it. I know that there were clinics in Florida that were publishing good success with it in the past. So yeah. I'm not sure what changed in the last couple of years.
But, you know, there's a phenomena in medicine, and not just with Rezūm or aquablations, but it's with all of our medications we get, too. Mm. You know, we have a problem. They do research studies. And the research study will usually have, you know, 100, 200, 300 people in it, and it will go out for 2 or 3 months. Mm. So you've got studies on a few hundred people going out a few months. And they say this works really well, and the side effect profiles we recognize were very modest. So it gets approved by the FDA. Then when it goes out in general use, now millions of people are using it.
Right.
Instead of hundreds, you've got millions.
Yeah.
Right? And now we start finding problems and side effects and issues that never showed up in the initial studies with the FDA approval, mm-hmm. simply because there weren't enough people taking it to find, because they're rare complications.
Right.
But if it's a really disastrous complication that cripples or kills somebody, we have to say, whoa, wait a minute. Maybe we don't want to do this one after all.
Right. And then as, you know, they find out more and more side effects, the longer they've been using it.
The longer they use it, yeah. So you get more people using it for longer periods of time, and now the adverse effects start piling up. And we see things that were never in the original research studies or in the FDA studies.
Right.
So I don't know that that's happened with Rezūm. But when I see something that, you know, a year or so ago I was seeing only rave reviews on, and now a major clinic has stopped doing it, I have to start saying, whoa, wait a minute.
What happened?
Mm-hmm. Was this something unique to their doctors, or was this something that is now being discovered that I'm not aware of? So I will put this on my list, on my to-do list. Recognizing my to-do list is now about 16 yards long.
Yes.
I have a T-shirt that says, to-do list, :, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't think I can survive with that. I got to have a to-do list, something to keep me busy. But yeah,
I will
pull up newer papers.
I'm sorry, doctor. UW may still be doing the Rezūm, but they don't do the aqua ablation.
Aqua ablation, yes. But that's the point, is that, you know, initially, question is, why did they stop? Did they have a particular problem? Maybe they had a disastrous impact there. Maybe they just got different doctors in that don't do aqua ablation.
Right.
I don't know. So I got to look it out. Look it up before I'm competent to comment on it. Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any foods that actually cause the prostate to enlarge or shrink?
Foods that make it enlarge? No.
Well, coffee can cause
edema,
swelling, and inflammation.
Yes.
So caffeine, they say to back off on.
Yeah, although that's a mixed bag. Caffeine is a great anti-cancer drug.
Right.
Well, yeah, nobody's taking my coffee from me, Jerry.
That's right.
Yeah. Caffeine is a great anti-cancer drug, but it does cause edema and swelling in the prostate.
I think if you have a prostatitis, you may want to back off on caffeine for a little while, but otherwise not.
But, you know, but you're saying foods, not drugs.
Yeah.
So, you know. The best foods that I have seen for a prostate are basically things that are extremely rich in polyphenols, such as pomegranates and pomegranate juice. And
green tea, possibly, too?
Green tea, absolutely, yeah. Green tea shrinks prostates pretty well, and it's a very potent anti-prostate cancer drug. So the ECGC in the epigallocatechin gallate. I like to say that fast.
I know you do.
That's a fun one.
Yeah. But the epigallocatechin gallate is in the green tea, and that helps to kill cancer cells. Pomegranates contain polyphenols that help to kill cancer prostate cancer cells. So I like those two things for...
Tomato paste,
again, lutein. We think it's the lutein. The interesting thing with that is... studies that used heated tomatoes, such as tomato paste or cooked tomatoes or pizza sauce and so on, helped to shrink the prostate and to slow the growth of prostate cancers. But so we always assumed it was the lutein. Mm. But then when they actually did tests using just straight lutein, it didn't work. Lutein-containing foods, but apparently there's something else in those tomato-based foods other than just the lutein, or there are cofactors that work with the lutein. Mm. But straight lutein doesn't work, but tomato paste, pizza sauce, those processed, heated, damaged sorts of tomato products do a pretty good darn job of prostate.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Mixon. Hey, we're going to take a quick break.